Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined, as always, by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. We are coming to you, bringing you this wonderful podcast on an occasion that for a while there, I didn't know if we were ever going to see on those days after Tennessee and those that day after Oakland, a two-game winning streak.
Lo and behold, it is possible.
It is possible. Yes, it
and
is.
It was well earned, I thought.
Yeah, definitely by the defense. The defensive performance, to me, holding the Redskins to only one touchdown, holding the league's leading rushing attack 40 yards, 50 yards under their average.
A little bit more south of that.
Okay.
It was 177.7 coming in.
And they had 80.
They got 86.
Okay. So, and then an RG3 completing over 70% coming in, completed less than 50% on the grass at Heinz Field. So, you know, the defense, you know, the Steelers' defense to me now is, Mike, is getting back to the kind of unit that it was last year, which is this. They really can't depend on takeaways because they're not getting a lot. And they really can't depend on other kind of splash plays, sacks, you know, those kind of things to erase. And they're just being stingy. They're up now, I think they're ranked second in the NFL in yards allowed in just about all of the categories, total yards, passing yards. And to do that without, as I said, the benefit of the splash plays, the takeaways, to me is the hardest way to go about it. But they seem to have found a way to get back to it.
Yeah, you know, Ike Taylor was talking a week or so ago in the wake of one of those poor performances, and he said, hey, the statistics are the statistics. And they were rated higher than people would have thought back then, but they had a series of bad fourth quarters on the road. You give up a long drive that scores points and loses the game, and it's not as if people have been throwing the ball all over the yard on them all year, but they've looked very vulnerable at the wrong time in games. They're able to put a complete effort together yesterday, and Bob, don't underestimate the role of the offense in that. This was one of your points coming into the game. I don't know if they slammed the door on the Redskins running the ball, because if you look at what Washington was averaging in the first half, I think it was over 5 yards a carry, and that included a kneel down and a sneak by RG3 at the end of the second quarter. But what ultimately took the Redskins out of that running game was the Steelers had 27 points in the third quarter.
Yeah, at 20 at halftime, too. 20-6 at the half. You're down two scores as the Redskins. You're not able to, you know, establish your run or keep going back to your run as you would like. Yes.
So it all works together, and they were able to score more points yesterday, and then made it a lot easier on the defense. But I want to credit them for doing a great job of sticking on the details and on the assignments. You've heard at times this year, after losses, guys are trying to do too much. That comes from not trusting your teammate, maybe not trusting the group. I think you saw that trust yesterday, and that was a tricky proposition that they had to endure to, you know, get ready for those guys and all the what I was calling hocus pocus during the week. Larry Foote said they repped it a billion times in practice. Guys were taking film home, studying, and everybody was fairly comfortable. Foote said there were a couple times where he was lined up just before the ball snapped, and he's thinking, all right, what do I got? What if they do this? And you'd like to have it a little more ingrained in that, but the Redskins' approach had been so different this season. I think very credible job given the circumstances.
Yeah, and Mike Tomlin, he started preaching this. I remember a couple, three seasons ago when the Wildcat first came in to the league, and he, you know, explained that, you know, you have – your rules, he calls them, defensive rules. And, you know, the defense is supposed to do things when presented certain things by the offense. And if everybody follows the rules, you'll be fine. And again, the Wildcat really has never worked very well on the Steelers. I think that teams kind of don't use it a lot because it gets violent up in there between those tackles for the guy taking the snap, running the ball. And, you know, Joshua Cribbs, he found that out in that Black Sunday game in 2010 when the sport changed. The sport changed that day. It did.
I was hoping there wasn't a blimp crash that I missed.
No, but, I mean, it was – that's the day the sport changed.
Because that's what happened in the movie.
Yeah, I know.
Black Sunday.
Right. And that was Super Bowl 14 they used, yeah. I think, Steelers-Rams as the backdrop for that movie. Another area of the team I thought that really impressed me. I didn't think it impressed me. It did. The offensive line. That group is starting to, you know, to me, the, when you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers as a football team, as an organization, tough, hard-nosed, aggressive, play to the whistle and maybe through it a little bit, play up to the line of legal and the illegal and maybe just kind of through that line a little bit. But the offensive line has never had a badass reputation like the rest of the team. It just has not. I think it's getting it now. With
yeah,
Pouncey and Cologne, I think now, you know, those guys are nasty, just kind of like the personality of the defense.
I think the 05 line, that era with Faneca, Hardings, and help me out here, I'm drawing a blank, Kendall Simmons, they were more technically sound and just good at it.
Yes.
But I don't think they had the
right.
Conrad Dobler-esque
right.
Asterisk attached. Yeah, these guys, they've got a little attitude problem sometimes. That's a good thing. Cologne was talking about that yesterday, how as long as they're on the attack, they're on their game. And they need to make sure they continue to do that. But, you know, you mentioned Pouncey, Mike Adams. When you have these guys that can get to the second level, you can attack easier. It's easier to be more aggressive when you have people that can move the way they have here. I'm still waiting for DeCastro and Mendenhall and a little dump down, and here comes the
screen coming up.
Here comes the escort of bulldozers that can move quickly, and then let's see what happens.
You know, talking about that, some of the watching highlights from yesterday, and you know, you and me and Jerry Dulac were talking about this on the Steelers Radio Network pregame show yesterday on WDVE. How weird the NFL is, maybe more unpredictable than the weather. And we were
we had that Eagle game pegged.
Yeah,
right
that up. Was just. But watching the highlights of that, do you see how the Falcons run those screens? Oh my God. I mean, they had a couple of them out there where it almost looked like you know, a movie scripted, because you know the way the offensive lineman came out really clean and there were three of them in front of the guy as he's catching the ball. Yeah, that which what we saw or what I saw Atlanta doing yesterday is what you're describing. I think the Steelers do have some potential for that, and I'll tell you what, you know, I see Pouncey working a lot. With Adams not working in terms of technically, but working on him kind of psychologically, getting him on board with, I think the Pouncey is certainly the leader of that group, doing it their way, you know, as you mentioned, him and Cologne having a little bit of attitude. I don't know. I don't think that Marcus Gilbert's job is his when he gets back if this continues as it's going.
Well, Adams has made two starts, and those are the two best rushing games for the team this season. Is that a coincidence? Did he have something to do with that? That's for the evaluators of tape to figure out, but I don't think it's totally a coincidence, Bob.
I don't either, and I'm just looking this up here real quick, and Ben was sacked against the – I was gonna say the sack totals, none yesterday.
Well, none of Ben.
None of Ben. Well, that's all that counts. I mean, don't you know? I've been. I'm a big Todd.
Emmanuel Sanders.
I'm a big Todd Haley. I'm a big Todd Haley fan. But my philosophy is, when you run a double reverse pass to a wide receiver throwing it, you pretty much get what you deserve. And so that sack does not count in the Labriola statistics.
Okay,
it'll count everywhere else, but. Not on.
Well, the Labriola statistics, much like the Sagarin ratings, are considered a more accurate barometer usually. So,
You know, another big day for Ben. 24 out of 33. A couple dropped.
A couple dropped by them too.
Oh, no question. But in talking, you know, you brought up the offense and how it kind of set the tone for this game, scoring early. And then the backside of that is then once you have the lead, then you kill out the game at the end. And they were definitely on the road to doing that, but Emmanuel Sanders dropped that ball. It was a third down pass, easy one. Ben put it right on the numbers. He makes that catch. He can run for a little bit, stay in bounds, keeps the clock running. Instead, the Steelers had to punt. And, you know, the Redskins didn't really make a lot more noise. But in terms of the smooth killing out of the clock the last, you know, what do they call it, 4 minutes? Four-minute offense. I thought they had it down yesterday. It looked to me like it was going to work perfectly, but that mistake prevented that from happening. But, again, overall, a good day by that group.
Don't underestimate, when you're thinking about Ben Roethlisberger, his desire to be the best quarterback on the field every week. Because I had a little chat with him about that last week, and he told me that that is, in fact, his desire to be the best quarterback on the field every week. And he, believe it or not, he still has a chip on his shoulder about the draft, about going third in that group of quarterbacks. And he hears what people say about the guy I was calling the NFL's flavor of the month. And he knows how many Super Bowls Eli Manning has won and how many that he has won and all those kind of numbers. And that was just his kind of day to step up and say, yeah, this kid's been impressive for about 10 minutes. Here's how it's been done at a championship level for years.
And I'm all in favor of that. And I believe that this season, more than any season, Ben needs to be that. You know, I look back the last time the Steelers kind of went through the NFC East, which is Eli, and they also played the Indianapolis Colts that year at home. So it was the great Peyton.
The great Peyton, man.
In both of those games at Heinz Field, Ben was not the better quarterback on the field.
Now, I wouldn't say he was the best quarterback on the field this year in Denver.
Right. So there are instances when he has not been and the Steelers have suffered. There are instances when he has been and the Steelers have won more important games than those regular season ones that they lost in 2008. For example, the 05 AFC Divisional Playoff game in Indianapolis, to me, who was the best quarterback on the field, that was pretty easy. It was evident from the beginning.
Certainly one was a better tackler.
Well, and again, as I remember saying to Jaworski after that game, you think Peyton makes that play too. you know, that's, to me, yeah. where this Steelers team goes this year is a lot about how often number seven is the better quarterback on the field. Because once, you know, you're looking at some games down the road, Baltimore Ravens, certainly this week, Eli.
Philip Whiskey Rivers
going down to Dallas, Tony Romo. And then once you get into the playoffs, to me, that's definitely
all
quarterback
good.
Games. Right.
So it's not an absolute, but I mentioned that. I don't think it's egotistical on his part. I think it's motivational, and I think it's taking responsibility.
Absolutely.
And trying
accountability.
To lead.
Yeah, he's accountable. Right.
Yeah, you know what? You're making a lot of money, and a lot depends on you, and they got one of those guys too, so be better than him.
Yeah, and exactly. I mean, the way, you know, in 2008, the Steelers had a defense that was historically great. They don't have that this year, and so it's even
more. And what did it take that year to win it all?
Exactly. Exactly. So it took a 100-yard pick six and that drive at the end.
Yeah.
So it was a little.
If the drive at the end doesn't happen, nobody remembers the 100-yard pick six.
Well, and vice versa, because if the pick six doesn't happen, the drive at the end only gets you close enough to try an onside
kick.
Well,
I mean, yeah, maybe everything's different, but. Yeah. The circumstances
right.
were.
You've got to win the game.
Left.
Yes. You got to win the game.
You're going to win or lose.
Right. Yeah, the way this season is evolving, you know, I think the Steelers have enough in some areas, you know, in a lot of areas, let's say, to get by. What separates them potentially is the quarterback. And
it's not just the Steelers, Bob. That's
I know that.
That's what's great. That's what passes for great in the NFL now. I'll bring up the New York Football Giants yesterday, who were ahead 23-0 and blew that lead. Got the lead back, almost blew it at the end. A couple, three fingers from Dez Bryant falling down. How they let a pass get into their end zone like that with the game on the line. There's guys running open all over the field for Romo and the Cowboys. Would Jason Witten have about 31 catches? they're maybe the standard. They're right up there in the conversation.
Yeah.
They're 6-2. I'm telling you, they're highly vulnerable, but they're also very adept at figuring out when you have to perform in a game, particularly offensively. Eli in the fourth quarter is money. Those guys know when a game needs to be won, and they do that a lot more often than not. But the, These are not the the big bad Giants. There's no Lawrence Taylor. You know, there's no back in the day who were some of the players in the 60s that dominated. They're just a little bit better than everybody else, which is all you need to be to win.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, the Giants.
They're consistent. They might not be unstoppable.
They might be the prototype championship contender for this era because they are just what you mentioned. They're not really dominating in anything.
In some areas, they stink.
Oh, yeah.
Their secondary is alarming to me. I can't imagine what they're saying about their secondary in New York. If they don't intercept the ball or sack the guy, bad things happen, man, to quote Dennis Hopper. Bad things happen. And yet they're 6-2.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's
– the end of that game was just surreal. Did you get a chance to see that?
Oh, yeah, I did, yeah.
How do you script that? And what do you say if you're Coughlin? Nice job? I mean – I'm not trying to be funny. I don't know how to process
and,
that.
And, you know, as someone was making the point.
Romo had over 400 yards. They had 6 turnovers.
Yeah.
What does he get if they only turn it over 3 times? 600?
And the other, you know, Dez Bryant, if he doesn't try and break his fall, which is human nature, by the way.
Yeah, I can't.
I'm not criticizing him. Yeah. I'm just saying that an involuntary muscle move cost the Cowboys the game.
Knuckle and a half.
I mean,
yeah, knucklehead.
But hey, I'm just happy that we are able to be talking about the Steelers in terms of, you know, going to New York and still being relevant. And I'm going to say this: I hardly ever give them this kind of benefit of the doubt, but I still think they're relevant even if they don't beat the Giants
based on
This league and what it is.
Let's go back to the Giants again. They've won 2 Super Bowls recently, including the most recent one. In either of those years, did you think, oh, the Giants are the team to beat? They're going into the playoffs. They're going to be a handful. They're going to roll through this.
No. I think they were 10-6 and 9-7.
Yeah, they find ways to. You got to get in the tournament.
Yeah.
And in this division, you're going to be relevant.
Right.
Cleveland is relevant right now.
Yes.
At 2-6.
Yeah.
And with a lot of division games ahead, including Baltimore coming up this Sunday. You just find a way to battle through it and hope you're the healthiest team at the end and hope you got a little momentum rolling and then see what you can do in the postseason. And hope you have a franchise quarterback.
Okay, that'll do it for this edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.